Welcome to the Jerkin' the Curtain Podcast with your hosts, Dizzo, El Toro Loco, and the Vanilla Midget.
Guys, welcome to the cast. I'm Dizzo.
What's up? What's up? El Toro Loco.
And here, sounding awful as always, is the Vanilla Midget, a.k.a. the Barber, Buddhist Beefcake.
A.k.a. the Man with No Name.
A.k.a. the Zodiac.
Zodiac.
Oh, that was...
The Booty Man.
That was my favorite was the Disciple.
The Disciple?
Yeah, you know how long it took me to realize that was him?
Yeah, it took me a while.
Because he had a beard.
Yeah, dude,
he had a crazy beard, dude.
It looked like he was in Sons of Anarchy, before Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. I was like, wait a second. And they showed his eyes. I'm like, that's just Beefcake.
And then he was in NWO, but wait a second. Then he was in the One Warrior Nation.
Just backwards.
Oh. That whole angle was spooky.
Yeah. Especially the fact that Hogan could see Warrior in the mirror and Bischoff couldn't.
Visions of Warrior?
Yeah, remember when Vince McMahon
and doctors are putting it over like, he's seeing those visions of the Warrior. And Eric Bischoff is like, what do you see, Hogan? What do you see?
Oh, yeah, the announcers could see, but Bischoff couldn't. Bischoff was right. Special. Bischoff was not as special as everyone else, apparently.
Right. Oh, I mean, if the announcers didn't acknowledge it, it could have worked a little better.
Absolutely. Remember,
in case you don't understand what's going on, we're going to tell you what is.
Remember when Vince McMahon did that weird shit when he was like, I got to bring a poison in. And he did that weird shit in front of the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to bring in the poison. And that mirror always.
That reminded me of that, actually, a little bit. The fuck?
What's up?
All right. So, Fastlane, guys?
Yeah, Fastlane.
Vroom. Vroom. We're on the fast lane of WrestleMania. Vroom.
Get this dick to live life in the fast lane. Moving at the speed of life and I can't slow down. Only got a gallon in the gas tank. But I'm almost at the finish line, so I can't stop now. I don't really know where I'm headed, cause I'm enjoying the ride. I'm roll till I drop and ride till I die.
Five-year-old kid.
First of all, what really bothered me about this was how many times we went to the fucking Fastlane kickoff table.
Uh-huh.
That was really annoying.
Yeah, but Renee Young's kind of hot, though, so.
I mean, that's fine and all, but
pictures.
You had the kickoff show. Now it's time for the pay-per-view. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Can we do a little opinion table thing on a future episode? What's the worst pay-per-view name other than Fastlane that they've had in recent memory? I mean, what the fuck? Some thought into it.
Oh, Payback?
Over the edge? Like, come on.
Payback's pretty shitty. I don't know about names being so bad.
Not Over the Edge. Over the Edge is okay, but Over the Limit? Wasn't there one Over the Limit?
Over the Limit had the same exact graphics as this pay-per-view.
They should just name this pay-per-view the Road to WrestleMania.
That's how you know what I was thinking when I was... They showed a commercial for the Road to WrestleMania, right? During this pay-per-view. I'm like, what if they just called... I was like, they could do something with this pay-per-view name going into WrestleMania. They could call it The Road. Yeah. I mean, that would be shit.
We don't need roads to WrestleMania.
That would be like the name of the road is kind of a shitty name, but you could do something with it, like
something.
They actually said it during the pay-per-view too. We're on the fast lane of WrestleMania, and I just wanted to punch Michael Cole in his face.
I always want to punch Michael Cole.
Oh my god!
Did I ever tell you the story about how my brother cut him off in traffic once?
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Good. That was. I think that was the first time we did the cast together.
Good, because I will always say this. My brother once cut off Michael Cole in traffic.
Good. I wish he would have cut him off into, like, a fucking ravine or something.
I really wanted to...
Josh Matthews, so, you know. The good with the bad, I guess.
Okay. I really wanted to punch him in the face during the main event, Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan, that one near fall. And he goes, Roman Reigns was thinking, oh, my God, what do I have to do? I'm like, Cole, shut the fuck up.
And I love how
that's not what he said.
Michael's match, everybody says the phrase, pinfall after pin, near fall after near fall. It's been two whole near falls. It's just crazy.
Jerry Lawler had a pretty good line on this pay-per-view, which surprised
me. Oh, did he?
Yeah, when they had that six-man tag. And he said that joke about the Big Show, about his hair being tall. He's like, the Big Show isn't bald. His hair is taller than him. Or he's taller than his hair, yeah. I thought that was actually pretty.
Man.
Dude, that was like kind of an old school Jerry Lawler zinger, dude. I like that shit.
Did I ever tell you about the zinger they get Michael Cole got on Lawler?
Yeah, I believe so. I don't really remember, but I remember you talking about
it. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was.
It was on Raw. It was on Raw, right?
Yeah. Oh, when Edge was on Raw a few weeks ago.
Yes, yes. I don't remember. I remember you talking about it. I just don't remember it. It was good, though.
It was a good line. Yeah, it was something like, Edge was like, the Peep Show sounds like something old perverts go to, and Michael Cole's was like, leave King out of this.
Oh,
Bazinga! Yeah, that's. I think
really Cole. Do you have to bring his whole legal issues from what 93 into it?
I wish Cole was a heel again because he was actually someone.
I wish Cole was a mute again. It'd be great. It'd just be like, it could be Booker T and JBL. I think JBL would just be better because Booker T is. You ever see him like he's trying?
Oh, yeah, Booker T's.
He'll make points and he's just like, I don't agree with you. Shut up.
Booker T's gotten a lot better, dude.
Yeah.
Like when he started, he was atrocious. I was like, oh no, Booker T on commentary. Now he's seems to have a grasp on it.
And he seems to not want to get into the banter. Like when Michael Cole starts like ripping people's opinions apart because they don't agree with him, he's just like, no, Cole, that's not what I'm talking about. Shut up.
Listen, sucker.
I'm gonna kick your ass, Michael Cole. We come off of you. Well, I'm not gonna finish that.
Don't say podcast. It, man. Don't say it. Let Botchamania do it for you.
But I think the worst part about when it was like full-fledged heel Michael Cole was we got whiny, full-fledged heel Taz in TNA.
I don't know. Taz, I don't, I'm trying to...
Taz is the commentary, but Helen Keller is to oral presentations.
I'm trying to give Taz like a word for his heel commentator, which was like when they did the Aces and Eights thing, right?
You right.
Know,
he kind of played the whole Eric Bischoff role where he acted like he didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then eventually he joined Aces and Eights, but he was still a commentator.
Right.
And sometimes it seemed like he wasn't a heel commentator, and then he was.
Taz doesn't know how to do his character anymore.
No, he's a fucking goof off now. He's a I can't believe like in 1997 I liked fucking Taz. Like if I would have known what was gonna happen, I would have just been like, fuck that guy.
The sad thing is I still kind of because I liked him so much in the original ECW, like up to like the whole deal, even when he came over to WWF, like. I still like him in a nostalgia sense. So like now when he's cringeworthy on commentary, I'm like, oh my God, hopefully he gets better. Like I still try to see the silver lining somewhere.
It's been 15 years since ECW, at least.
Well, the last time I remember cheering for him was when him and Triple H had that match on SmackDown. And that's the absolute last time I pulled for Taz.
Well, I pulled for Taz when he made his debut against Angle, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then he stuck up for JR when he was when he started out his commentary and he was gonna have a match. I'm like, oh cool, he's gonna get back to wrestling. And
yeah.
And then he
yeah.
didn't because of his neck.
Yeah, I remember.
And then he just kind of sat around and.
I remember watching
became a stereotype.
I remember watching the Austin promo. He's like ripping WCW apart, and then he started talking shit to Taz, like trying to push him. And then he came in the ring and just got murdered. So then that was that.
And he's just terrible. Like, him and Tanae were like the worst.
Still, one of my favorite promos was one of the ECW pay-per-views when the guy comes in and he's like, "We gotta get some words from Taz," and he's sitting in the locker room and he's like, "Camera Mike, Mike Camera Taz, we don't need you,
dude." Guilty as charged. 1999. Yeah, that's what it
fucking,
is.
That was fucking awesome.
I got a question.
What's up?
I got a question for you guys. How do you guys still remember this shit?
How do I still remember this
shit? Like the dates and the fucking paper. I can't remember. Everything is a blur in my brain.
Brother.
I don't know. It's...
My brother can remember shit like that, but I can't remember.
I don't know. It's... I don't know. I honestly cannot explain it. It's some fucking... I don't know.
Like, I remember the big ones. Brother, I remember the, you know, Taker Michaels and all that stuff.
Brother, listen. I will share a personal story. This is why I remember... pretty much anything ECW is, when I was 15, I was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. So mm-hmm. I was in the hospital for like a week and a half.
Right.
And I came out of the hospital and I came home and it was like a Sunday. It was Sunday. It was barely legal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was like just out of it 'cause I was in the hospital for a week. So I was just like laying around my house. And my mom was like, "What do you want to do?" And then I remembered that was on, and I'm like, "Well, I think I just want to just hang out and watch wrestling." And I was like, "Can I order this pay-per-view?" And blah blah blah. And then she was like, "Yeah, sure." And I just like laid out on the floor and barely legal 97.
Right.
ECW's okay. First pay-per-view, and then from then on, like, I think I liked it. Dude, I liked it so much that I remember everything from it.
Because I remember big moments, obviously, you know.
Right.
But, like, I couldn't tell you which show. Like, my brother can do it, too. Like, fucking recite that shit. It's ridiculous.
Well, for me, like, WWF, WWE stuff, I can remember more than WCW stuff. And then I can remember some ECW stuff. But, like, that one in particular, I remember seeing, I think, both Taz, Shane Douglas, ECW title matches. So that's why that part, that interview segment sticks out to me, because they did a backstage one with Shane Douglas and then the backstage one with Taz.
I feel like a dumbass sometimes. I got to go look shit up. Like, oh, what were they talking about? Oh, I remember that now.
But see, that's the cool thing is there's stuff that, Mark, there's stuff that you remember that we don't remember, like, I'm like, right off the top of our heads. And then there's stuff that Chris remembers right off the top of his heads that we don't. And then random shit that I remember that, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, listen, I don't remember anything by The Undertaker until he was like 19-0. So.
Which is the probably the best.
Or what? What was it? I don't feel like they made a huge deal of it until they started the Shawn Michaels program.
What, the streak?
Yeah.
No, they started making a big deal about 10, and I remember that. And the only reason I remember that is because when he went to 10-0, he was celebrating the ring, and then he counted with his fingers to 10. And the announcer's like, "He's 10-0 at WrestleMania," and I think since then they started.
And fucking
following the streak.
And then they had that, like, streak DVD, and I watched that, and I'm like, wow, like, the first 10 matches he had were, like, squash matches.
Yeah, at WrestleMania 9, he won because he got chloroformed.
Yeah, like, I'm watching one, it's like Jimmy Snuka. I'm like, oh yeah, this ought to go well.
You know, you're right, because I can remember, like, in WrestleMania against Jake Roberts, he turned face because Jake Roberts was gonna hit was in a feud with Macho Man, and they did the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Jake Roberts was waiting by the entrance and was gonna smack the first person with a chair, and Elizabeth was coming first, and Undertaker grabbed the chair. So Jake couldn't hit Elizabeth, and they started feuding.
So, guys, were we talking about Fastlane? Or...
We were, but we found something better to talk about. Shitty memory.
We'll come back. We'll come back. I will say the build-up to that that match when he went 10-0 against Undertaker at WrestleMania 18, that build-up was great. I still remember that with him going to, what was it, OVW? Or wherever David Flair was. And he was beating the shit out of David Flair because Ric Flair wouldn't take the match with him, and then, of course, after he did, Ric Flair decided to fight him at WrestleMania. I thought that was a great build.
I remember thinking, like, I remember going to my saying to my brother, if Ric Flair ends the streak, I'm gonna have to kill someone. But yeah, so Fastlane.
Fastlane.
Steaming piles of dung.
Oh my god.
Well, okay. Here's the thing about Fastlane. I didn't. It was there. It happened. I really liked the Reigns Bryan match. I thought it was good. We all knew the outcome was that predictable. Although I did that spear into the small package, I did go, "Oh shit!"
That was pretty cool spot. That was a pretty cool spot.
Get it? But I ain't mad at Roman Reigns. I ain't mad at him.
Oh yeah, me neither. That was the best. That was clearly the best.
They did the one thing they could possibly do with Roman Reigns, and that's keep quiet, let him look like a badass, and let him wrestle because he's actually a pretty good wrestler.
Yeah, clearly the best match on the card.
Yeah, because Dolph Ziggler, who WWE
never know what they're doing with
as a savior. For the cause in Survivor Series, gets pinned by fucking Kane in a 6-man tag match.
You never know what they're doing with him. You're like, all right,
I don't know, man. If there was like viable competition out there, like where he can get the same exposure, I think he would have bounced a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how much he can put up with. He's proven like how good he is. He's wrestled twice in the same card and just had the best match of the night, and he put him over huge, and they never want to pull the fucking trigger, and I don't know why. This guy's got the Shawn Michaels look down pat.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude.
It's so fucking insane. It drives me crazy.
It's completely ridiculous, dude. I really don't know what their deal is with this guy, but I mean, you put him up on a pedestal and you get him up there and you just continue to knock him down. Like, what are you proving?
Like, sorry, Dolph.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you're going over at Survivor Series, but in a couple months you're gonna get a fucking Superman punch from Big Show and Kane's gonna pin you.
Yeah, because that makes sense. Fucking to nobody. Kane, there, respect. Fucking retire.
Yeah. There was nothing wrong with that match. It just, I don't know, I wasn't invested.
It was just there. No. It was just,
yeah.
Nothing was wrong with it. The other match I liked was the next one was Cody and Goldust, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good match.
I'm so glad you got a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, they're gonna get arrested, dude. That was a good match.
Well, and that's the thing, Chris. Remember, I was saying to you, like, it looks like the backslide. Maybe it was to you or somebody else. I said, it looks like the backslide's making a return.
Yeah, man.
Goldust won with the backslide, and I was trying to allude to another match. I guess it was upon further research, it was the Seth Rollins match where Randy Orton got written off of TV back in November.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins along with the backslide.
Speaking of probably the reason they had a 6-man match was for Randy Orton's big triumphant return.
Yeah.
Which they waste and they put him back with the Authority. What is going on?
You missed
Raw. Yeah. In case y'all missed Raw, which you did.
I read the spoilers, but
let me explain you a thing.
So what's
going on? What the fuck is
knowledge.
Going on?
That's drop my explanation. Knowledge.
Drop. My explanation is a question. The fuck is going on?
Oh, that's it. That's all you got?
Well, I'm pretty sure they're doing a keep your enemies closer type of deal where Randy Orton is going to beat the shit out of everybody like in the next couple weeks.
You think they're doing a slow burn with Randy Orton and Rollins? Or?
Yeah, because he's like he's back with the Authority, but you kind of can tell that he's gonna beat the shit. He's gonna kill Rollins. Like he's.
I can't stand this guy.
It's gonna be like I knew it was you, Fredo. I knew it was you.
I'm not necessarily opposed to like a slow burn because the thing I hate is when like they write a character off, he's gone, then he comes back, and then Rollins is kind of hot, so like inserting Randy Orton for his revenge right now would kind of take it would take the
they got 5 weeks to WrestleMania. I mean, I don't know how they're gonna build it when they're on the same page, but you got four weeks to WrestleMania to do this thing.
Yeah.
What are like like, how long until Money in the Bank now? Hasn't he had that for a long time? Huh?
I don't know. What month are we in? March? It's only March?
It's going to be March, yeah.
Yeah.
So, 3 months is the summer pay-per-view, so...
Okay,
I think it's like 3 months.
Okay, so he's got to use that fucking briefcase soon. Or it's
I'm sure he's going to do it at WrestleMania. God, I hope he does it at WrestleMania.
Oh, man.
That would
really
be sweet.
Dude, I really hope he does that shit at WrestleMania. Then you're going to have a reason to have a program, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, which would be cool.
Yeah. People will watch because Roman Reigns is better chasing the title.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially when, you know, and the story, I think, and bear with me, the story they're building with Roman Reigns, besides the, you know, the fellatio they're giving him, is, and maybe works the booing in Philadelphia worked, is because like, every time he achieves something, someone tries to take it away and he's got to prove himself again.
Yeah.
And I think it'll work in the context of beating Brock, finally beating Brock, you know, someone beating Brock Lesnar, the big unstoppable beast, and then Rollins cashing in on him and taking that moment away.
Oh, that'll
it
be amazing.
It would just be like Roman Reigns the next day just come out and spear everybody.
That'll
the
put,
crowd, the refs,
dude,
Michael Cole, twice.
Dude, that'll put mega heel heat on Rollins, and he'll be a big heel champion. And
yep.
there will be Reigns still chasing, dude.
No matter how big he is, he still gets the sympathy because, well, I mean, it's like, how many times must I kill you? You know,
exactly. Right. Like, right. And that puts
the only thing that they can do with Reigns.
Yeah, that takes the unpredictability out of, you know, I went to the Royal Rumble, I won the Royal Rumble. Now I'm going to WrestleMania, and I'm going to beat the champion, and I will be the new champion. Takes the unpredictability out of it.
Does and
or
like,
takes the predictability.
The crowd booed, so now we have to, you know, nobody like me. And he's like, I don't care if nobody like me. I'm still going to WrestleMania. And they're like, well, why don't you face Daniel Bryan? He goes, fine, fuck it, I'll face Daniel Bryan. Or, you know, the winner of the match, I'll fight whoever. Then he beats Daniel Bryan, and they're like, all right, I've proved it. Now I gotta go to WrestleMania. And then he beats Brock, and Seth Rollins catches in, and he's like, oh, I beat Brock, and now I still have the title. The fuck?
Now they're gonna start bringing like. They're gonna bring The Rock back. He's gonna fight him.
what if? Okay, so Roman Reigns wins. Seth Rollins runs down to cash in, and before he gets the chance to cash in, Randy Orton cuts him off at the pass.
Ouch!
No, because they already wrestled at this point. If Rollins is gonna cash in, he already lost to Randy Orton.
Okay.
So there'd be no reason for Randy Orton to want to interfere with anything.
That's true.
Hey, I'm thinking like Rollins ain't gonna win his match if he's gonna cash in.
Hey, if Rollins cashes in, then he could have more than one guy chasing him too, because then Randy Orton will have more
bullshit pay per views anyway.
No, Orton will have more incentive to chase him then too.
Yeah, you put a triple threat and then look, Roman Reigns is looking better because he's not having to carry a match and he's doing with two good workers and he learns more.
Exactly.
So
dude,
Memo to Vince McMahon, on the very slight chance you're listening to this right now, hire me, please.
Yeah. He's not, but it's hire all of us. That's fine.
We all just booked you 6 months.
So, pretty much one of the other highlights other than Goldust and Stardust was Tyson Kidd and Cesaro versus the Usos for the tag team titles.
Oh, and they won.
Yeah.
And Tyson Kidd and Cesaro went over. They fucking won.
Yeah, man. Good.
That was good.
I'm glad to see that Cesaro was finally capitalizing on that win in the Battle Royal last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Andre Battle Royal.
Funniest thing on Raw.
I think this tag team shows promise.
Now with a hashtag Axelmania.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Still in the Royal Rumble.
That's not funny.
Holy crap. Unintentional comedy, maybe, but it was fucking funny.
Oh, he's bad. I can't get behind him for anything, dude. He just has no, there's nothing there.
You know what he's got to do? He's got to just come out, shave his fucking beard, and be like, listen, my name is Joe Hennig. My father was Mr. Perfect. I have big shoes. I'm not a McGullah Cuddy. I'm not an Axel. I'm a Hennig. I'm born into perfection. I'm bred into perfection. This is what I do. And then start working and getting better.
And that's the thing, man. I want him to succeed, that's the thing. But like, I don't know.
Anyway, I want to say this about the Rollins and Ziggler though, because they have matches against each other from now on.
Uh-huh.
is I used to say about, like, if you want a wrestler to look good, you put him against Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
If you want Ziggler to look good, you put him against Seth Rollins. What do you think about that?
Well, that's because Ziggler will sell for anybody like he's dead.
Yeah.
That's the thing, man. Ziggler
he's the Bret Hart of sales.
Ziggler is so unappreciated. It's insane. Like, and he's definitely paid his dues. You know, he did the whole Nick Nemeth thing and then the whole Nikki and the fucking Spirit Squad, and then he did the Dolph Ziggler thing. So he's definitely paid his dues as far as I'm concerned. And
Patty.
I remember seeing the guy as Dolph Ziggler in the beginning and just going, "Hey, I'm Dolph Ziggler." And I was like, "Who the fuck is this idiot?"
Right. He's definitely come into his own for sure.
That was the first step of him being punished.
Oh, was it?
Backstage.
Was it now?
Yeah, he was apparently not respectful enough to one of the older guys, the veterans, and didn't introduce himself. Or didn't shake somebody's hand.
Oh well, they should have put his bags outside the locker room.
Yeah, that's what they did to the Miz.
Yeah, I know.
They should have done it at school and chained his bags together with one of his enemies.
They should have peed on his clothes. While Jerry Lawler was in the bathroom stall listening to the whole thing.
It's all on GTV. That's what I heard.
Yeah, GTV.
All right, moving on.
All right,
Nikki Bella defeated Paige.
By placing her hand conveniently where the tights are, therefore grabbing the tights.
Yeah, right. she just put her hand on her belt. That's all I saw. I mean, and they showed it five times.
On Paige's belt line anyway.
Dude, and they showed it five times.
Yeah.
They had to show it from the turnbuckle cam, too.
Right? I didn't know
existed.
The only
match I saw the turnbuckle cam, it was more like, look at Paige's boobs cam.
Not complaining.
However, Will.
Which, after the match, she held on to her boob because the bottom of her fucking top was about to pop off.
Why? Why didn't it?
Yeah, I was waiting patiently.
Patiently waiting for this bra to explode.
I was like, something good has to happen on this pay-per-view. Let's go. Nikki Bella's looking blacker and fatter.
She's looking more Kim Kardashian-like every day.
Oh, her face is getting real manly.
Bree's the better Bella anyway.
Maybe that's what John Cena likes.
He likes them thick, man. He likes the thickums.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that or anything.
Nothing wrong.
I don't know. Her face is starting to look a little rough to me.
Too much spray tan.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of spray tan, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I don't know why we're talking this much about a women's match, but...
That's not on NXT anyway.
Speaking of women's matches, ooh, I want to say this. So, on Raw, during the Intercontinental title, the Ziggler-Barrett match, Truth was out there because he got a pin on Barrett.
Because what? He got a pin on Barrett?
On SmackDown last week.
Oh, the show I don't watch. Okay.
Yeah. So, he wanted to start a hashtag, give Truth the chance, right, for the IC title.
Okay.
Which got trending worldwide, according to WWE on the Raw.
Yeah.
It says number one trend, hashtag give Truth a chance.
Okay.
But some people on Twitter changed it to give Divas a chance.
Oh.
And that's been trending for a couple days now.
Oh, and then...
And then AJ put Stephanie McMahon on blast.
Oh, she sure did. I saw that too today.
And that was wonderful. And I'm just hoping that it's some part of a revamp of the Divas division.
Oh, please.
And they're making her like CM Punk because, you know, they're married.
Because he's not there.
Yeah, and it would just be so fantastic because AJ Lee's got the skill to pull it off.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking
she
of...
She can pull Charlotte in, Bayley. Oh. All the girls from NXT just to show them that women are that good.
Speaking of Twitter, Samoa Joe announced he's going back to TNA, right? Okay.
ROH.
So then, back to TNA. Not TNA. Jesus Christ, I suck. ROH, right? So
yeah,
I
yeah.
saw a story today that showed his tweet, and then CM Punk tweeted him back, "I owe you one, pal."
Really?
Ooh. Ooh. So of course the internet is CM Punk return imminent. we were talking about Twitter there, so I just wanted to...
That'd be fucking sweet if he does like a special one shot in ROH. Like Dana White's like, yeah, sure, no problem.
That would sell out, and then they'd sell more tickets for people to stand outside and listen.
Right?
But the thing is, they won't do that, and Dana White won't do that unless CM Punk is booked to win the match.
Right.
Right, oh, absolutely.
Because otherwise, you have a professional wrestler defeating a UFC guy.
Right.
Yeah.
In a script, you know, even though it's scripted, it's like, oh...
I don't think anything's going to come of it. I just thought it was interesting.
What
the fuck was after this women's match?
It was the Bad News Barrett.
The Bad News Barrett. I won because I got beaten up too much match.
Oh my God. That was the worst DQ finish in recent memory.
The referee's just like, oh, we got to throw the match out. Here's why.
So hold on.
They gotta take that Intercontinental title belt off of Barrett, man, because it's like that thing from the fucking Brady Bunch when they went to Hawaii. Just fucking. Oh, God, he just can't catch a fucking break with that. I'm expecting, like, Peter to come out and, like, break his leg surfing or some shit.
Michael Cole's gonna slip and fall and crack his head.
No, bad things will happen. Stop it. Like Jerry Lawler will come out and say he's taking over Raw for 3 hours.
Oh God, why? No! Get that title off of him.
It's terrible. It's pretty much like an anchor. Like it must weigh like 50 pounds because it's holding him back.
Dude, I'm just saying. Like, how many more matches with Dean Ambrose have to end with him just beating the crap out of somebody like forever?
No, I mean they give him Dean Ambrose like every corny, kooky finish they can think of.
The monitors.
The best thing about Dean Ambrose's character, though.
Oh yeah,
one thing I love about Dean Ambrose's character.
Oh, he's great.
Is that it feels like he's in a like we know it's scripted as you know as fans we know it's scripted, but he looks like he's reacting how we would react in a fight if this thing actually happened.
Yes.
I mean he's you know? Super.
Right.
I respect the help.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You there?
Yeah. Okay. Who was talking? Because it was all of a sudden silence. I was breaking up.
That was Dan. Son of a bitch! I got to do more fucking editing again? This was like the worst part of me editing the last one.
Son of a bitch!
Oh, there he is. Whew. I'll still.
Oh, he's back. We don't have to edit that much.
I'll still edit that part out. Anyway,
You were saying
my thing with Dean Ambrose is it's funny when he cuts promos because he seems like he's mocking the fucking material like how we would think about it like oh
this is like they
give him material and he just mocks it it's actually
yeah like he's so in your face about it. It's over the top that it's like he just can't build like when he came back with the fucking. From Coney Island, and he had the ketchup and mustard and holsters.
That was actually pretty sweet.
It was wonderful. It was a guy who attacks you with a hot dog cart, like in the movie Sleepers. Way worse. Way better results.
Sleepers.
I honestly hope they give Dean Ambrose the title. I mean, besides him stealing it, I hope they like give it to him. Like,
I tell you what, though. I think Dean Ambrose, because Dean Ambrose's chase for the Intercontinental title has actually made it mean something to somebody and the fans.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody steal a title in a while, so I'm okay with
it. Yeah, and the fact that Dean Ambrose wants it because he wants to be on the Wall of Champions tells me two things. One, the Intercontinental title still means something because they put the picture on the wall. And B, nobody cares about the United States title.
Right.
Well, it's essentially like having two IC belts. Like, there's no need.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you give something a reason for John Cena to chase. He can't chase the world title at WrestleMania anymore, right?
Oh my God!
So what do you think? What do you think? It's going to be him and Rusev again at WrestleMania, right?
Absolutely. Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
you know, watch the promo between Rusev and John Cena, please. Because, and I'm going to say this, I keep telling you about Best and Worst of Raw, Brandon Stroud, the writer.
Yeah.
And I agree with him because in his Best and Worst of Raw for this week, he wants, and I agree, for Rusev and Cena just come Rocky IV. That's it. That's all it should be. Because John Cena became super American in this promo, and it was kind of great. It was like, I'm the best. When you think of freedom, you think of John Cena or some shit like that.
Whoa, I don't. When I think
my
of
middle name is Bald Eagle.
when I think of freedom, I don't think of John Cena ever.
I think of something being forcibly shoved down my throat for the past decade plus.
And this is what scares me about the WrestleMania match between them. Because I'm assuming that we're going to talk about that match now anyway.
Yeah.
Is that John Cena is going to go over, and they're going to give, quote, John Cena his WrestleMania moment.
Oh, no.
And they're going to push it as John Cena's WrestleMania moment when he's had so many moments.
I think that...
Movie sleepers.
Oh, I'm saying. Right. When I think of John Cena, I think of Robert De Niro in Sleepers.
I think of Kevin Bacon in Sleepers.
Yeah, that. Oh, that's the one.
You need a fucking shitty character like Kevin Bacon in Sleepers in WWE. Just a fucking piece of shit.
I thought it was gonna be Bray Wyatt because he's dressed like the guy from Cape Fear. Oh fuck!
Yeah.
That was a amazing promo.
Oh my god! I got bored. I thought the Undertaker showed up. I was like, "Oh shit, Druids!"
Oh man, that was awesome. Thank God.
I liked it.
Thank God it was Bray Wyatt in that casket. This is the Undertaker. I was gonna puke. All
right, stuff.
I'm getting the chance.
Like the soul of the Undertaker.
I'm getting.
He has no soul.
Listen, dude. I'm getting the John Cena chills from Undertaker now. So whenever I see the Druids or fire, I'm just like, oh god, I'm gonna throw up.
Hey.
Now, see, here's the thing that I mean, and it's a rumor at this point. What do you guys think about the rumor that pretty much Bray Wyatt's gonna have to sell this entire feud, and we're not gonna see Undertaker until WrestleMania?
I never heard that.
I actually saw that too. That. They said that Undertaker's not going to show up until WrestleMania.
You know what, though? I think what they're doing is... and again, because they showed a picture of Undertaker working out in the gym. And with all this talk of how shitty Undertaker looked last year at the end of WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to come back looking like, you know, cut and ripped and back to his old self. Which would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think he should make at least one appearance before Mania, but if he doesn't appear till Mania, it's not the end of the road for me.
Yeah, I like to see, like for instance, this week on Raw, while I'm in attendance, that would be nice to see The Undertaker.
That would be good. That'd be prime time for him to show up.
Anyway, what's next on the Fastlane card?
Yeah, hit me with
The last one was the main event, Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan.
Which, again, wasn't bad.
Not bad at all, no.
I mean, this was essentially a one-match card anyway.
And it was kind of cool. You saw, like, little bits and pieces of, I guess you could say, like, heel-like tendencies from Daniel Bryan when he had Reigns in the corner, he was, like, smacking the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then...
Also, a little bit on Raw. Okay, let me tell you about the fellatio that happened on Raw.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys. The oral fellatio, and I mean this in any sense you want. I'm surprised Paul Heyman didn't come out and start tickling balls.
Oh, boy.
Brian comes out and says, all this time I was saying I was the best and blah, 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 but you're better than me. You beat me, so you're great, blah, blah, blah. And suck, 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 and, you know, come on my face, please, because that's what I like. Then Paul Heyman came out. And Paul Heyman is usually solid when it comes to promos. And don't get me wrong, this was a solid promo if it wasn't so obvious in the fact that how much they were
they were trying to make. He goes, Roman Reigns against Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3, I pick Roman Reigns.
Oh,
Roman Reigns against Stone Cold Boston, I pick Roman Reigns.
No.
Against any other man, I pick against The Rock, I pick Roman Reigns. But you're not facing a man, you're facing a beast.
Oh,
which is the
okay.
point.
Okay,
I get it.
That's okay, I like that setup, but
I get that, but you just had probably the one person that can talk the best and everyone listens to. Because, you know, when he talks, he sounds like he's telling the truth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell him that Roman Reigns is better than anybody who's ever laced up boots besides Brock Lesnar. And then I threw my TV out the window. Thank God there was a lot of snow because, you know, it's an expensive TV. But it was just like, holy shit.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I just want to alert you to something right now. It's off topic. If you can look at your Facebook, I just shared something that made me laugh out loud. I had to mute the mic.
Oh jeez.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know. As much as I want to say, why did Paul Heyman say Roman Reigns versus Hulk Hogan? Blah blah blah. Roman Reigns versus Steve Austin. Like, no, please don't say that. But I guess it sucked him off. But then it kind of got to a point that you're not facing them. You're facing fucking Brock Lesnar.
It was a nice point to make, a nice illusion. But the way he went about it was just
like why are they all coming out and sucking this dude's dick? Like, I don't understand.
I mean, they don't get it. It will root for him. Just stop making us root for him.
Like, I've always noticed in life that if you try to force something down someone's throat, they reject it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you try to tell, like, oh, you're supposed to like this. Like, okay, well, I don't then.
Right. Exactly.
Like that.
Because we're what's the word I'm looking for? You know, we're like teenage children. Tell us we're supposed to like something, we won't like something.
Exactly.
Anti-establishment?
Nope, that's not the word I'm looking for. It's one word. It's we're bleh by nature.
We're bleh by nature?
Yeah.
Are we nat by nature?
Not because we hate you.
Are you not down with OPP?
Oh, he's naughty by nature, not because he hates you.
Does it begin with an S? Oh man, I can't.
I don't know what you're looking for.
Me neither.
It'll come to me probably by the end of this. I'm just gonna keep thinking about it.
We're anti-authority, wait, man.
Basically,
no. There's a one word for
it's,
not
it's
anti
like,
anything.
But it's like saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
somebody
that,
because
but...
it's somebody telling you what to do, and you're like,
Well, honestly, like. Taking a step back in like a broader sense, that's really how Jay and I started shooting the mainstream, was just the fact like, fuck you, we're not going to sit here and have you shove every idea down our throats to the point of we just get so sick of it that we succumb to it and fucking fuck that. No, it's not going to happen.
You're like Rage Against the Machine. You're like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Basically.
Yeah. Spiteful. Spiteful.
Spiteful. Gotcha.
That's the word.
Gotcha. Yes, okay.
Gotcha.
I got it, guys. I figured it
Boom,
out.
Boom, baby.
My vocabulary. Woo.
If anyone sums up shooting the mainstream, it's got to be Jay.
Yeah.
He's quite the passionate one.
Yeah. He is.
That guy. Anyway, we're talking about wrestling. Now we're filleting Jay.
Oh, Jay, let me just tell you. Any other Dave Meltzer, whoever Meltzer, I don't know.
Meltzer, you're right.
Wade Keller.
Wade Keller.
Wade Keller. We got it. Jay. I think Jay. Somebody's on Jay.
Jay. So. Anyway, that was Fastlane. That was,
basically, yeah.
That Yeah, give me the raw rundown. I think you probably hit all the points that we needed to know, but
yeah, our show Divas had 30 seconds.
Oh, cute. Okay. Who wrestled? Anyone or
Jordan is back with the authority despite attacking the authority.
Is he
like I said, it's probably a keep your enemies close type of deal, so let's follow that close.
Is Randy Orton's Triple H's hitman for Sting or no? Or what?
No.
Dude, we didn't even talk about that. That was actually pretty sweet.
But except the fact, like, okay, I understand the fact they're trying to keep Sting ominous, but here's the thing at its fucking core, dudes. Like, okay, it's fucking 13 years too late. I don't know how jazzed you expect him to be 13 years later. Okay?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. My phone was acting weird.
Oh, no, you're good.
This is the reaction I had when people said it was going to be Sting versus Undertaker.
It's like, what the fuck? It's 2015, not 2002. Get over
it. But you know what? It's going to be what it is. It's fine. I think the story should be different. I like the video package didn't include Wolfpack Sting.
It should, dude. It honestly should just be, hey,
or
man.
Jeff Farmer Sting.
Like, the video pack, the story should just be, hey, dude, you fucking just popped up out of nowhere. You're basically anti-authority, right? So the storyline should be like, okay, here's another guy that's against what the fuck the authority's doing.
Making it like, oh, this guy's against the WWE. You're making yourself the face, Triple H.
It does seem like he's trying to, but I feel like that's on purpose, though.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a match. It's gonna be there. It's historic. And blah blah blah.
Dude, it's gonna be great. I guess. I guess they've been at the Full Sail rehearsing their match. I saw a story about that they've really been working hard and going through their match for this whole month, I guess.
Well, good for them then.
Yeah, I'm really solid. Yeah, I'm really excited. Stink to fucking join.
That's
up.
One thing about Triple H. Take whatever you want to say about him. Fucking dedication, man.
I think you know what I think. Sting as a recurring role as an active wrestler. A couple years ago, up until whenever he left TNA, was a bad idea. He's an older guy. He's not gonna fucking go every fucking night. You know what I mean? But if he's in an Undertaker kind of role where he just pops out once a year, I think he's fresh enough to go. You know?
Yeah. You know, it'd be the best thing to do.
What's that?
I think is you have Sting beat Triple H, and then Sting just becomes like the GM of Raw.
That'd be dope.
And you can just Triple H can be in the background fighting to get his company back. Whatever, I don't care.
Sting, that dude still has mad charisma, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I was never a fan of Sting, never. But I get it. I understand.
When I was a kid, when I transitioned, like when I found WCW, was like it seemed like they were trying to pass the torch from Flair to Sting. So I was like, I'm a kid, so naturally I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, this new guy, Sting, sweet.
Yeah, now also, so, you know, and I dug him the first time he did the silent gimmick with the NWO.
Yeah, I wasn't like a huge fan by any means, but I was like, dude's all right, dude's cool.
It was subtle, like his changes, like all of a sudden, like his hair's not blonde anymore, and it's getting a little longer, and his makeup is kind of different.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing, dude, that whole thing was awesome.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, like, he disappeared, and then, like, he appears on the rafters, like...
I don't know where the writing went after, that was, like, the only story they had in WCW. Like, I just don't get it.
They fucked it up. Then,
yeah, well, the match they fucked up.
The miniseries on ABC. It was so good, and you're all so into it, and then you get to the end, and you go, what the hell just happened? Giant spider.
I will say that Sting, like blonde haired surfer Sting, I'll be the first to admit I was a full-fledged fucking mark, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna front, I'm not gonna say no, Sting, no, I was a full-fledged.
It's okay. So were fucking millions of other people. Obviously, the dude's had just as long as a career as any other big name guy. So
anybody else who's main eventing WrestleMania, I mean, think about it.
He's also main eventing WrestleMania now. That whole story with the NWO thing, and then him, they just planted seeds everywhere. It's just like a fucking great story. It was like,
yeah, it was really good, really well done.
They had the fake stings.
So got like, a little cheesy with the fake sting.
Well, yeah, but they in the first place they're like, oh, you turned on us, and then you clearly see some guy dressed like Sting beating the fuck out of people that aren't NWO. So then they're like, hey man, you fucking turned on us, and he's like, no, I didn't, and he really didn't, and then they all. He was like, all right, guys, you don't believe me? Fuck you. And he bounced.
And the thing with – then they had the thing with Savage for a minute where Savage joined up with him, and then Savage joined the NWO anyway.
Yeah, right. What a fucking – what a loser.
Right.
What a
fucking – but that led to DDP versus Savage, and that's still one of my favorite matches.
Oh, crazy versus crazy. You know what I know? we're not doing it this week, but that Super Brawl pay-per-view when the Freebirds came out, DDP – if he said good God one more time, I was going to reach into the TV and fucking choke him.
Oh my God. And Big Daddy Dink or whatever the hell his name was.
What, dude, he had the fucking worst name. I don't know if his name was Dink or fucking they're like it, sweet.
Actually, it's Oliver Humberdink.
They're like,
not to manage Bam Bam Bigelow.
They're like sweet dick daddy or some shit. I'm like, God damn, that's a little racy for 1991. I didn't know what the hell they were calling him, but I'm pretty sure it was Dink or whatever.
No, I do remember what you were talking about though. That was at the Hogan Piper Super Brawl when Macho Man and Sting came out in the entranceway, and then Sting left, and Macho was like, wait, I'm going to hang around. And then he slipped something to Hogan.
I don't know, but I dug the DDP Savage feud. That was just
absolutely
dope.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that was dope, yeah.
The fact that like he was willing to put DDP over, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and
you know, you got to watch there's a YouTube video, Diamond, after Savage passed away. DDP talking about that, and you know, Macho Man like called him over, and he's like, you know, thank you, brother, you know, for everything, and just gave him a hug.
Yeah, and he was like, cool. Oh yeah, and then I mean, it's been a recycled story, but the whole deal where they go to the back, and Arn Anderson is there, and he's asking Randy Savage, you know, what do we want to do at the Spring Stampede match, and Savage says, I think I want to take the diamond cutter. And then he fucking Arn Anderson's like, oh, Paige, you know what this means? And he's like, yeah, fucking Arn, I know what it means, you know.
But
did you guys
the best part about that feud is that me realizing that, hey, Kimberly Page was naked at one point. I need to find this magazine.
Oh, my.
Hashtag you right.
Hashtag waiting hours for a picture to load on the internet.
Hashtag I already had the magazine at the time.
Oh, huh. good for you, buddy. You're a smart man.
28.8 dial-up modem. Fuck.
Man, I didn't have the internet till it was fast. I was already a man.
Dude, you're lucky. Oh, God. I was lucky enough to never have the internet when it was like you have to plug it into your phone and it's a modem, like a real slow modem. But I still had that slow fucking internet, dude.
Yeah, because... for sure.
I know the internet.
Oh,
I was born in it, read into it. I didn't know dial-up till I was already a man.
That's right. I also remember the story of Diamond Dallas Page told was when he had Jake the Snake Roberts living with him, and they lost the snake in his house, dude. And Kimberly was like, he's got to go.
That's the thing, man. I know that you see a trend with guys being on different podcasts, but I'll listen to DDP on multiple podcasts because when he gets into story mode, it's hilarious.
Hey, dude, I just listened to the Goldberg episode of Colt Cabana, and Goldberg is I tolerated him. It was insane.
Really?
Yeah, you know, he goes into – dude, he like kind of – it's kind of veiled, but he's like, trying to ask him what kind of guy he is. Like, are you, he's like, you consider yourself a hothead? He's like, well, yeah, I'm a hothead. He's like, that's why I got into wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of, you know, walking up and down the street, he's like, when I'm angry and beating the shit out of guys, like, oh, why not get paid for it? And he's like, I'm generally a nice guy. He's like, I like to treat people like how I would want to be treated. He's like, do I get mad? He's like, yes. He's like, but he's like, everybody gets mad.
I almost wonder sometimes if, as a fan, like, I'm a little too critical of Goldberg, because I mean, he tried to do the best with what he, with the hand he was dealt. He was given a mega push in WCW.
No,
you know?
he was fine for that. Like, he fit the perfect. Nobody else could have done that.
Oh yeah, he was good. Go ahead.
No, it was the best way to build up a streak. These short, dominant matches against, you know, and the best way to do it, you get the shitty guys, then all of a sudden he moves up, starts beating Raven, starts beating DDP, starts beating Sting, you know, and then he loses to a taser.
I like, he told a story on there that was like, he used to like hang out, he hung out with like Kevin Nash, Steiner, and like, he hung around Raven a little bit too, because he was like, Raven's like the only other Jewish dude I know that's a wrestler. And he's like, I guess the one time they were all hanging, and they told him that he had to sit in the back, and he was like, oh, hold the fuck on, man. He was like, look, he's like, if this is about like me paying my dues or what the fuck ever, he was like, I paid my dues in life. He's like, I played fucking football in the NFL where dudes were literally trying to rip my head off. He's like, now I'm in a place where dudes are like fucking trying to rip my head off. He's like, so what? He's like, I'm sitting in the fucking front. He's like, I'm not sitting in the goddamn back. We're not playing this game.
Okay. Okay. Sit down. Sit down, Bill. Sit down. You're fine.
Bill, have a seat wherever you want.
A full-fledged fucking shoot on me because about where we're sitting.
Yeah, right. All right. So I got my question for you guys.
What's that? Go ahead, shoot.
Oh, man, this phone is being weird.
That's all right.
My question for you guys. You're starting a promotion. Brand new wrestling promotion. You can pick anybody from the current roster, WWE, to be your guy to build the roster around. Who do you pick? And why? That's an easy answer, obviously, but...
Well, I'm not taking the easy answer, I'll tell you that.
Well, I wasn't expecting you guys to.
So I got to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. That's tough, dude.
I'm picking only because... He's still going to be around in 10 years and on a steady climb. Damian Sandow.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. I'm going.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I was totally not. I was totally
well,
not.
Well, I mean, other guys, like if you say like Randy Orton or if you say.
You're picking
maybe,
a lot. You're
maybe
picking...
not so much any of the Shield guys. Because they'll still be around, but there's guys that probably won't be around 5-7 years from now, or they'll be past the apex of their career.
You're picking a left fielder, man.
Yeah, we're playing football. They're picking baseball players.
I just think Damian Sandow. I hope he gets a run with a singles championship at some point. Maybe not quite yet a world championship. Give him like a U.S. title run or an IC title run. But I think the guy is beyond a shadow of a doubt super talented.
Okay. No, I agree that he's talented.
No
That's
doubt.
All I got, though. Like,
I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
What? No, wrong, false. I lied. Seth Rollins, actually, because I think he's solid in the ring and he could work well as a heel and well as a babyface, dude.
I was going to agree with you because I was going to pick Ambrose.
Oh, were you? Sorry.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know, I had a brain fart. And
Ambrose got that look, like he just looks like money.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree with that.
And like he's like, if you, I'm pretty sure that if WWE decided to give him the ball as the top guy, he would not let that shit go for years.
Okay.
So put everything, you can tell, like we were talking about him before,
mm-hmm.
how kind of like mocks the stuff he's given, mm-hmm. but at the same time, and maybe this goes to Damian Sandow a little bit too, and Cody Rhodes too, where whatever they're given, they just go with it. They're like, okay, fine, right. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to run with it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and Ambrose and it does that. Like, he's like, okay, guys, I got to take a guy with ketchup, fine, but I'm wearing gun holsters.
Right. So I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that question. I'm going to take that question and spin it or expand it, I guess you could say, to not just WWE, also include TNA and Ring of Honor and just like pro wrestling in general. If you were to start a promotion and you could start with one guy, who would it be and why?
Oh, wow.
See, I haven't watched TNA in a while, and then ROH, I don't know many people. To be honest,
if I could
Austin
start,
Aries.
Oh yeah.
Okay, all right.
Because when I was writing reviews for TNA, I used to call him Awesome Aries because every time he came out, it was just fucking money. Oh, and you know what? Fucking Christopher Daniels and what's his name? Kazarian.
Kazarian.
Always and forever together. In my heart, they're my favorite bad influence. Holy crap!
They're amazing. They're amazing.
They brought Zumbas back. They would like. I love them. Yeah. So shout out to them forever and ever. My BFF.
And some people that we know would say that Zumba should never made a comeback. I think Zumba's making a comeback was a very good thing.
Oh, absolutely.
The people I say who say Zumba shouldn't make a comeback, I say Zumba should never have left.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell no. I'm going to go with I'm going to say Bobby Roode.
Okay.
And I will say Finn Balor.
Okay.
Finn Balor. Oh, how do we not see that one coming? Yeah. Finn Balor.
Come on now.
I'm gonna say, even though it's like the complete opposite 180 from what I said with the WWE one, I'm gonna say AJ Styles. Alberto Del Rio or Alberto El Patron, I guess you could call him now. I think the guy's a solid worker. I think he could work well with anybody just because from all he's done, all the different styles and having the background from Mexico, I think he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny. WWE is looking to find, you know, Mexicans to replace Rey Mysterio as their draw, and they had the one that they could have used. And let him go, Alberto Del Rio.
I wonder if he'll be one of those guys that, like, 10 years down the line, he does, like because Vince will bury the hatchet with anybody. I wonder if, like, 10 years down the line, he comes back.
I don't even think it's going to be 10 years. It might be 2, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially if he starts putting ROH over.
Oh, shit, yeah. Dude.
What happened?
I follow that Botchamania page on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And they have a screen cap from the Dark Knight Returns, where Joker's talking to that mob guy and he set the whole place on fire, and the caption above it says Triple H talks to the owners of PWG, and then the caption on the picture says tell your men they work for me now.
Man. Oh man.
Oh, I hope he never says that to PWG because they're fucking awesome.
Oh no! Speaking of PWG, another guy I would build the company around would be Joey Ryan.
Oh God, he's fucking great, dude.
Yo, let me tell you, Joey Ryan. Okay, when I first saw him was TNA.
Yeah,
They were doing the gut check, and he lost the gut check, right?
Yeah.
And it was the first time I ever saw him, and I thought he was like, oh, he's playing Jack Tripper from his company. You know, that's his slimy character, you know, but. Holy shit, man. He was just so over the top and so great, and just like, how did they not push this guy?
Right? The first time I saw him was on that Wrestling Society X on MTV years ago. And I was like, this guy is fucking cool. And I didn't even really realize at the time that Colt Cabana was Matt Classic, the guy in a mask on that Wrestling Society X, which he's another unappreciated guy, I think, in the wrestling industry. He's
Cabana. That's got to go. Let's bring him.
Guy's a man.
Yeah. So, as we're winding this to a close, I guess.
Oh no! I wanted to. There was a fantasy booking thing that I thought of yesterday. That I understand that it would never. There's not an ice cube's chance in the desert that it would ever happen. But as a fan, I think it would be cool. So, like, it's kind of like we were talking earlier when we were brainstorming about the WrestleMania 13 double turn with Bret Hart and Stone Cold. Right. I think it would be cool if they did a double turn with Roman Reigns and Brock. So, like, you know, we were saying where Roman Reigns always has the roadblocks that the authority puts in front of him. So, like, the end of the match at WrestleMania, the authority, Stephanie, and Triple H come out, and they go to a spot where they do the old school, the guy bounces off the ropes, and the person outside the ring like looks away and tries to hook their leg.
Right.
And so Stephanie does that, and Roman Reigns catches her and stops, and Brock and Paul Heyman see, and then so Heyman starts giving her shit, like, hey, we don't need the authorities' help. Like, we can beat Reigns, or my champion can beat Reigns by himself. And then as it gets heated and kind of uncharacteristic of him, Lesnar kind of loses focus on the match for a quick second. He goes over to tell Paul, like, shut the fuck up, like, stop. And boom, Superman punch, spear, Reigns wins. So then they go to the Raw the next night, and, you know, it starts this ass-kissing thing where Triple H comes out and he calls Reigns out, and he's like, you know, we put all these roadblocks in front of you, this, that, and the other, and then you've conquered them, you conquered them, you conquered them. Brock Lesnar comes out seething, red-faced, ready to break somebody in half. He wants his rematch. That, and then, you know, Triple H is trying to calm him down, trying to calm Lesnar down. He's like, hey, you know, it's really, as the champion, it's really up to Reigns whether you get your rematch or not. And, you know, he goes to get physical with Triple H. Again, Reigns Pearl Harbors Lesnar with a Superman punch, and then there you go. Reigns is a heel.
Yeah, and then imagine what that does to Rollins, where he's the guy with the briefcase, and then he's like, they just fucking co-signed Roman Reigns.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, that's the part that I thought about later.
It snowballs down, and then Rollins becomes kind of a face, I guess.
Yeah,
that's what I thought of. But I was like, when I thought about that first part, I was like, that would be fucking cool, I think.
That's pretty fucking genius, dude. I like that. I just like unpredictability. I like going in and being like, okay, it's going to be fucking cut and dry. Roman Reigns about to win the belt, but then some shit like that happens, dude. I like that, dude. That's really sweet.
So if any independent federation out there is looking for a writer, holla at your boy.
Word up.
You got to start somewhere. I don't want to go. I don't want to go right to the top. I'll start small.
Go big or go home, son.
Yeah, but at this point, Vince McMahon has no idea who the fuck I am, so I got a
TNA. TNA approaches Mark. He's just like, no.
Well, I would run for TNA.
Yeah,
I would. When I was writing, I would be like, my nickname for the site was Fozzy.
Yeah,
like the Muppet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would just be like, hashtag hire Fozzy.
Oh man, if we were given the book in TNA, that would be awesome.
So guys, big month for us coming up.
Absolutely.
WrestleMania month.
WrestleMania month.
It's the road to WrestleMania.
Oh, boom, 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 boom.
Cue Mean Gene in the, what is it, the WrestleMania Center? Whatever the hell.
Let's go to the hotline. 909-9900.
Get your parents' permission before calling.
Oh, man, WrestleMania. Remember when it used to mean something? I don't get me wrong. I love the shit out of the wrestling. I do. I love it. It's
right.
One of the things that you can't... When you know me, you know that's what I'm about. But lately, and maybe you guys have been feeling the same way, you feel like you're more watching out of habit than out of love for what's going on.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance for sure.
I think what's happened is that the WWE has become so self-aware that it's starting to, instead of having things happen seemingly organically, they're trying to force things and make it like WrestleMania moments. WrestleMania's big, and now we do this because this used to happen as a small little thing, but since we got ahead of it, it was this big thing, and it's just it's they need to stop. Let things happen.
I agree. I don't know. I feel like they've lost touch with wrestling. They're just so far up entertainment's ass that.
Let me tell you. I mean, Vince McMahon has such a hard on for Hollywood.
Yeah.
Not even funny.
Maybe.
And I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to make his brand known. He's trying to make money. He's trying to become a billionaire again.
I get it.
I get it. However, you're a wrestling company. The second W is wrestling in your logo. Okay? My favorite things as a kid watching wrestling, you know, or following as much as I could is there's a reason it was called the Big Four pay-per-views, because there's only four a year.
Right.
And you couldn't wait those 3 months till the next one.
Right.
They built it up so strong. And then, granted, with WCW came along and, you know, like, and now they got to compete. Now they got 8 pay-per-views and 12 pay-per-views, sometimes 13 or 14 pay-per-views, because why the hell not?
They don't have to compete anymore, though.
Right.
They don't have to compete. They're oversaturating. How many times do we see 3 pay-per-views in a row, you know, Dolph Ziggler versus whoever? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I only watch it so many times.
And the thing, if he wants to be Mr. Hollywood, I'm saying they got WWE films. Step your ass down from the fucking... Step your ass down from the wrestling.
What I would do, and I alluded to having an idea during our pre-show meeting, is you take these shitty fucking pay-per-views, Fastlane, Over the Limit, Bragging Rights, get rid of them. You keep the Royal Rumble, you keep WrestleMania, SummerSlam, throw King of the Ring back in the mix, because I always love the shit out of King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Survivor Series. And every 2 months is a show. And
yeah,
every
like,
2 months
do
is a
you,
build.
Do like six do you a imagine, year.
Could you imagine a build between January and March for WrestleMania with nothing in between?
If they could,
I know they prove anything can happen, but that's what you got Raws for.
If they could
the network, you're not making much money off the pay-per-views anymore anyway.
If they could fucking cut Raw to 2 hours, back to 2 hours, I would be fine with that.
You know what? 3 hours would work. What they got to stop doing is, let's say Raw was originally 9 to 11, right? Well, not originally, but Raw was 9 to 11, so they got 8 to 9. Why not, and this is just me, put on matches where people are fucking entertaining me? I don't need a fucking 20-minute promo every week saying the same thing. You know? You want to, you know, we joked about, you know, hire us because, you know, we can write Raw. Any fan now can write Raw. Opens up 20-minute promo with already leading to a match later in the night with Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan. Divas gets 10 seconds because nobody likes women's wrestling anyway. But whatever. But that's because we're conditioned to hate it.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
I'm telling you right now, they got the talent. They did probably one of the deepest talent. You know what? Make 8 to 9 the fucking NXT hour.
Hey, and you know why? You know why WCW is successful for a while? when they had 3 hours? Because they were diverse, dude. The first hour, yeah. The first, you had your little promo in the beginning, and then, like, up until, like, 9:20, maybe even 9 o'clock, it was, like, luchas and fucking...
Yeah, the cruiserweights, you had, you know, and you had a whole bunch of little things. And that's even during the Attitude Era, they had that, too. They had the diversity.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now it's all about, like, John Cena has become Poochie.
It's all about... Simpsons. It's all about what's trending on Twitter, bro.
See, my thing is this: if you have a hard on for a fucking promo every show, do a 5 to 7 minute promo. It doesn't need to be 20 minutes.
Yeah,
reset the fucking week. Then you could even have a promo. You could even have it start out as a promo, like they do sometimes, and have it evolve into a match. Like, dude's out there popping off at the mouth. Somebody was out, challenges him, boom, boom, boom. We have our first match.
Yeah, it's like... They're so far up their own ass, they can't see shit.
My thing also is, if you want to sell... If you want to sell fucking the network, or you want to sell these matches, that these stories are important... Tell the announcers to shut the fuck up about whatever it is the fuck they're talking about that isn't the match. Like,
exactly.
Cesaro went on social media this afternoon and talked about his fucking dog. Shut the fuck up.
It's overkill.
Or,
it's ridiculous.
I have another idea. You know, you want these characters, you got these new characters that want to get over. Don't tell me how much they suck.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Like the Ascension.
These are a couple of goofs. They don't know what they're doing.
How those guys are going mm-hmm. right back to NXT like next month.
And then, you know, are they trying to make NXT look like a joke because these are guys who are dominant in NXT and every fan who watches NXT knows that? Is there that much jealousy between the two rosters?
It's so funny.
If so,
I
will pay to see NXT versus WWE.
I will fucking pay for that shit. It's so funny to see them bury guys that are essentially in
do something
that are essentially shit, part of the WWE. Oh shit. Keep rolling. I think I lost Mark.
Yeah.
Definitely lost Mark. The thing is, like, fucking. They did it with ECW, and it seemed to work well, was the little invasion thing. But they could do that with NXT, and I think it could be successful.
Yeah, but, man.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
We need to have an episode on the whole, like, rebooking the entire invasion angle. Because
I'm not even touching that.
Because That angle was...
Here's what you do. You have WWE win a match.
That angle could have been so much fucking better.
Well, here's the simple solution. Here's how to make that episode into, like, 15 seconds. You should have waited that out until you got some big-name people.
Yeah.
Not Sean O'Hare and Mark Jindrak. No offense to those guys.
Right.
But those
right.
guys were a part of WCW.
You can't have all mid-card players.
But, dude, yeah, if you want it to be a big deal, you got to fucking get Kevin Nash. You got to get Goldberg right away. You can't get Goldberg 2 years later.
Right.
Angle wouldn't work, though, like 2 years later.
Yeah. But, I think you got
to
build.
I'm not saying you had to wait 2 years later, but if you're... I'm not saying you had to wait for 2 years, but the thing is...
I understand.
You should have did that right away.
Yeah,
but some guys didn't want to sign right away. It was just took the Ted Turner's money and sat home.
Well, yeah, it's funny how WCW still kind of won there.
Right.
What I would have done, you have, like, you didn't have the biggest names in the invasion.
Yeah.
But you had, you know, you could have worked with it. Imagine at the time, before the heel turn, you know, Jindrak pitting Austin.
Right. They would have never let that happen.
Never would have happened.
Crazy.
I mean, I'm saying. or Booker T pitting Austin, because Booker T is probably the biggest name to come out of there.
Yeah, that man, it all started on a cursed note, dude. Booker T and fucking Bagwell.
Bagwell. Bagwell had one match in WWE.
And then there's that infamous story of him and him throwing a temper tantrum with Shane Helms or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they could have done more. They didn't. Oh, now we got revisionist history, how everything is WWE all the way. Nobody mentions the fact that they folded. But no, they need to get their heads out of their asses, and they need to
84 start. Weeks, man. 84 weeks in a row, Nitro beat Raw.
Yes. And it all ended the night after WrestleMania 98, when X-Pac showed up.
That was actually great. That was one of the biggest moments.
Yeah.
That was one of the biggest turning points in their history, and it was with like one of the small like the he wasn't even
the shittiest wrestler.
That guy, if you think about it, that guy never made it past a mid-card. That guy was never anything past mid-card.
He was with DX, I guess, so DX counts as a main event.
But yeah, the circ but
him
but,
himself he was never more than
him himself was never more than a mid-card, but the circumstances of him leaving WCW and showing up on Raw and joining DX was like perfect.
Yeah.
And made him look big.
Yeah.
He came out fired up. The story.
Oh, he was
like,
really happy.
They're like, the stories were like, hey, just go out there and just talk, man. You can say whatever you want. Like, that's another thing, as they talked about on that Triple H, or not the Vince McMahon thing when they had Stone Cold podcast or whatever. Or I think they may have talked about it with Triple H was. Like, guys are more scripted now. It's not like, okay, here's your bullet points. Go out there and do whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're like scared as fuck to go out there and say anything because they're a publicly traded company now.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? All you like you said, you reel them in. Give them bullet points. Say this. Don't say this.
Yeah, don't say anything crazy. I mean, obviously, they let John Cena have liberties where he like comes out and says he's going to kick somebody's ass or whatever. You know what I mean? But. I mean,
you can't threaten somebody by going, I'm going to kick your rear end.
Yeah, you also.
Okay, Grandpa, calm down.
Like, hey, don't go out there and say you're going to behead anyone or any shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't get crazy.
Right.
But, you know, you got to let these, like, when it's coming off, like, you watch these guys talk and you can clearly tell it's their scripted.
Everyone's got the WWE way of speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
let me just tell you about Fastlane. You just giving the crowd the opportunity to go, what?
Yeah,
let me tell you about Fastlane. At Fastlane, I was in a match against Roman Reigns.
What?
And then he beat me.
What?
And yeah. You know the person who was great? Bray Wyatt, when he first came into the main roster, they started wetting him and he changed his cadence.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's been like five or six guys who have been like, hey, you know, the what thing is what it is. Like, you just have to know how to get around that.
Yeah.
And you can. It's been proven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, it's going to be WrestleMania month because we totally fucking 10 minutes ago started talking about that. This is the first time I think we've ever planned ahead.
We're like way ahead.
Yeah, we're like a month. We got a month worth of shows lined up.
Which probably means we won't stick to any of that because that's the way we roll.
Of course, of course, we'll at least stick to the main idea, and then we'll just
we'll
go nuts. Then we'll go nuts after after we talk about it. So what we're gonna be doing is each week leading up to WrestleMania 31 or just WrestleMania now as it is. We each picked a WrestleMania that we like, and we're gonna be reviewing those in order, starting with WrestleMania 4. And then we're going to go on to 14 and then go on to 17. And then the post show, we're all going to be watching WrestleMania together. And the post show, we will be talking about the WrestleMania 31. And then we will be talking about our favorite moments or matches from any WrestleMania ever.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exciting.
My God, I love when a plan comes together.
Okay, Hannibal.
Evil laugh.
Well, laugh. Yeah, no, it's going to be good.
It's going to be great, man.
Yeah, man. I'm really excited. I like talking about the wrestling part of the podcast.
Dude, I fucking love wrestling. God damn. Matter of fact, when we hang up, I'm probably gonna watch NXT.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna do the same thing, but you know.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not sure if I'll watch NXT, but I'm pretty sure I'll watch something pro wrestling related.
I'm probably gonna take my medicine and then watch NXT.
There you go.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
So I guess we could wrap it up, and we don't have to do plugs because we have a plug fucking commercial.
Do we now?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I attached it to the cast I just uploaded. So Dan did the vocals. Yeah. I threw background music on there. I'm getting more and more fucking advanced with this editing software that I have. So try and do little things here and there to make it not just us talking so much, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. That's why I think like when we get together instead of Skype.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll be great.
Oh yeah. It'll be fun. This week, the episode I just uploaded, I did a new intro just added to the intro, really. Put a little Ric Flair clip. I threw a little Ric Flair clip.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Ric Flair for his 66th birthday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to the Nature Boy.
If you're listening to this, Rick, your daughter's pretty hot.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, I still got my eyes on Bailey, but Charlotte ain't bad.
Kelly Lynch or Becky Lynch or whatever, right? Irish girl. Mm.
You really like that Becky Lynch, huh?
Ah, she's. Yeah, I would say yes to that.
She
would say rape to me, but whatever.
Yeah, she would. But hey, if you got a bottle of chloroform, she's got the time. Come here, I want to take you to Hot Topic.
Puts the lotion in the basket.
I still have eyes for Paige.
Oh yeah, Paige too. I think it's the accent for Paige. Oh.
I think so too. I'm really into the British ladies for some reason.
Yeah. Impel,
you're right. You're right.
All right, guys, we're rambling on, so I guess we'll just call it a night.
Let's call it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, folks. Glad to have you as fans and glad you continue tuning in. Hope you enjoy it.
You know what? Since we're doing WrestleMania week, please leave us your favorite WrestleMania moments or events.
Leave that on the Jerk in the Curtain Facebook page.
Or the Twitter.
Or, you know, you'll hear it.
Shoot us an email. It'll be the first.
Whatever supplies are sold, whatever.
You know what?
I'll
You know what, guys? Before WrestleMania, I'll throw something on the throw something on the Shooting the Mainstream page and our podcast page. Like, ask that question.
All right. Like everybody else says, go on our various providers of our podcast and rate, comment, review, and share.
All that stuff. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. WrestleMania month. Woo!
Woo! Signing off, El Toro Loco as always.
Dizzo.
And the Vanilla Midget.
Well, folks, I do believe that's going to bring another episode of Jerking the Curtain to an end. If this has not quenched your appetite for all things Jerking the Curtain, please proceed to your nearest medical facility to have your headache checked. And once you're discharged with a rash they don't know the name of and they give you some cream to put on it twice a day, head on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/jerkinthecurtain716. You can also send us a tweet at jerkinthecurtain on Twitter. JRKIINTHECURTAIN. Or on a desktop or laptop, visit twitter.com/jerkinthecurtain. You can also send us an email at the Jerk in the Curtain email address, jerkinthecurtain@gmail.com. Feel free to listen to us on Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes. We also ask that you share with your friends. Tell them what you like about us. Tell them what you don't like about us. Get the word around. Spread the word. Once again, we thank you for all your support and look forward to having you as a listener in the future.
Never ran with crows in his hand and won't stop rocking till he clocked on a gazillion grand. Tilling the wasteland sands, raps on backs of treasure maps, stacks to the ceiling fan. He rests on his ashes, ask him after 10 miles and his galashes, smash his stashes. Chip on his shoulder with a slip-on holster, a clip, a folder, and his grip on a boulder bolster. They supposed to know, his show in his aura glow. Get from out the road when he get dough, it's horrible. Time is money, spend, waste, save, invest, affest. The 10K cicada chicken chest, S. Yes, y'all are double, get your trickles. The best ballers pitch in and rub to get a nickels. But tut tut, he bout to change the price again. They go up each time, he blow up like hydrogen. Villain here, have him shrilling in fear. It won't stop top bill until he a gazillionaire. Grilling stare, yeah, your boy had drama. Got him on the mental plane, avoided bad karma. One solar inbred skinhead, a nigga joke. Plus a brand new chrome smoker with the triggers broke. I thought I told him fire and pins were separate. He find out later when he tries to go and rep it. Took a Jehovah money for an Arabic Torah. Charged in advance to translate it and ignore the sorta. One monkey don't stop, no slaughter. A junkie want a cop a quarter ton, run for the border. Know the drill, it ain't worth the overkill. Flow skill, still, there's no grill. Fill a billion 10K bills in this pillar. Villain when it gets realer, split the skriller with Dilla, Dilla. Mix, mix, mix. Do a deal for kicks and get rich quick. Sketch lyric bets about a nick on some Vic. Ick from the drumstick, come with the dumb stick. Sick slick, hidden in a book. The only way they find it if it's spitting in a hook. Listen, don't look now, keep walking. Traded three beans for this cow. Cheap talking, Hawkman stalking here to we hawking often. Coughing to a coffin, might as well scoff the pork then. He's like Wolf. Some say stronger though, off the top J Strongbow, play along bro. Wear a mask like yo off the gong show. Flow slow as Mongo, Don Juan Thong Pro. For your info, when he's not practicing Jim Crow, an actress in some nympho bimbo. He's playing Ray J, the old tape. Doing well, what can I say, like JJ in a gold cape. Fill it to the rim like Brim. Villain and you won't find him in no gym. Probably a foggy bog with the frogs with a dot on a guard as he squat on a log. Half cocked and half baked. Used to keep a full stock of work, half rocked and half shaped. My mistake, sign a track agreement for more G's than lines and cracks in the cement. In any event, it's fake like wrestling. Get him like Jake the Snake on mescalines. Elixir for the dry throat, tried to hit the high note. Villain since a itsy bitsy zygote. By remote, sending the meat wagon. Bragging MCs packed in with their feet dragging. These stats are staggering. Had his PhD in indiscreet street haggling. Villain, his agenda is clear. Ending this year with dividends to spare here. It's not meant for the seeing. Went through the ceiling after entering his center being. A new meaning to sales through the roof. Guaranteed raw and source truth is truth proof. It's the return of the tramp. We'll do a duet jam when Ernest goes to camp for the right urn. Nah, I mean like burn. We need some more oil for the machines to burn. Learn. Jiminy Crickets, he gets lucky like winning free tickets off sickly lyrics. One man's waste is another man's soap. Son's fan base know the brother man's dope. A real weirdo with a bug rear flow. And the way his hair grow was ugly as a scarecrow. He was a mask so the charge won't grab. On a rooftop with a large stone slab. Heads up, talk white and thought niggerish. Refused to walk tight and got his off the vigorous. Black licorice and equally as yucky. How he handled the money was strictly Dan Stucky. Monkey hustle, man on fire. Later for the date than the Hadron Collider. It costs more, it be seeming like a style. Doom leave the competition steaming like a pile. Smile, sparkling jewels. In effect like alternate side of the street parking rules. Fools, the roach was never dead. Live for a week then dehydrate with a severed head instead. It was depicted as flicked, split the wicks lit.
We have got to try to find Doom.
Good luck.
Peace.